Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Exec Chairman Patrick D'Souza of Water Intelligence and CEO Will Nell of American Leak Detection, a one-stop shop for all things water leak detection, repair, and preventative maintenance. So big welcome, gents.
Well, thank you very much, Paul.
Cheers, Paul.
Yeah, well, big congrats on this morning's positive and in-line year-to-date results with Q3 sales and EBITDA both climbing strongly and continuing the momentum from Q2. So maybe we could start there, Patrick. And I suppose you could just quickly take us through what's been driving that growth and also any sort of the key takeaways from the Q3 year-to-date results.
No, thank you very much. And you know what? It's good to be cheery when you have, you know, a really good quarter. And so, you know, the question is it an episodic quarter or, you know, are we really going to continue this upward trajectory? So I offer the following thoughts, right? Life as well as business is all about doing little things super well. And if you can do little things really well, you can do bigger things in chunks. But you have to be able to manage the little things well. That is really the big message, because if you do the little things well, sequential growth will continue because you're building on a foundation. And that's something that Will is going to talk, you know, at much length further in this video. But let me offer really three different line items, call it that, of little things doing well. Because if you look at our numbers, great on the sales growth, extraordinary on the profit growth and the margin expansion. So those are elements of profitability and scalability. So, and again, might I remind you, you know, when you were introducing water intelligence, we left out a key word. So it's not only leak detection and maintenance and repair, it is now also wireless monitoring. So we have a full suite of offerings now, and those numbers, those sales numbers are not in these current numbers. So as we move towards even selling wireless monitoring as a new offering, that is completely supplementary to revenue growth. But again, that's for subsequent videos. For today, let's focus on, you know, the profitability and the increase in margin, because I think those are really remarkable when, you know, the world at large is facing some macroeconomic headwinds. So if I offer you three little things done right, the first thing really is personnel and management, no matter how you look at it. And so if you look at the two leaders of our business, first, Will, who runs probably 90% of the business, you know, he came on board at the end of Q3, beginning of Q4 last year. If you look at Q3 numbers last year versus Q3 numbers this year, a remarkable change. Really good. If you look at Steve Gaylor on our international business, he made some personnel changes, especially in Australia. Really good. Results show. So the very first headline is personnel does matter, leadership matters, and execution matters. Right? Next point, if you really look at our business, it's a very, if you really look at it, very simple business. It's a man, a van, and then just operating efficiencies for the enterprise, call it that. So then if you look at three things done well, and these are all wrapped up in what Will is going to explain as the Dallas template. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Trump economy in the U.S. doing well, but that's putting pressure on labor costs. So if you're able to manage those labor costs well, and the economy is better in the US, then you should see this kind of profitable scaling, right? Second piece, if you look at the van, call it that, to the extent that, preventive maintenance is not only good for us in the water industry, but it's good for other companies that also have a platform. So again, Will's initiating, we should have preventive maintenance of our vans, right? And then finally, if you really look at operational efficiencies, the overhead piece, call it that, what Will is doing in combining Dallas, Fort Worth, and then other locations across the US, again, taking advantage of efficiencies, of scale, our operating system backbone with Salesforce, the investments that we've previously made. So if you really look at it, those pieces of the puzzle wrapped up in a platform, point number three, that scales across the US, those three little things done well, plus if you have dry powder like we do, allows you to do bigger things and absorb the bigger things, whether it's acquisitions, territorial expansion, however you look at it, the efficiency allows you to have confidence that acquisitions are right around the corner and bigger ones, because you have to have a foundation around which we can jump. So if I look at that, baseline, maybe just a couple of headlines on the numbers, and then maybe I could turn it over to Will. Okay. So the headlines on the numbers are, again, everybody has the RNS release, but the headlines are, okay, sales growth accelerating a little bit. We're at 9%. Okay. Next piece, in terms of EBITDA and profits, also growing. So let's just take EBITDA, cash generation. Statutory EBITDA grew 12%. Adjusted EBITDA grew 25%. And some of the adjustments are because of IFRS changes that we have to come, but every bit as much of growth in the underlying fundamentals. So then if you look at the adjusted EBITDA margin going up from 18 to 20%. So all of these are indications of doing the little things well. Okay. So then if you don't mind, with that, I would add one little button being our net debt to EBITDA ratio has remained stable at one point, I think it's 1.27, adjusted EBITDA being 1.1. Okay. So from that standpoint, we're underlevered, we have dry powder, we generate cash, margins are increasing, we have capital to put to work. And our capital allocation strategy will remain very consistent. It'll be organic growth. We'll talk about the preventive maintenance strategy and Streamlabs. It'll be franchise acquisitions. We know those businesses with the efficiencies that Will is creating, we can absorb bigger chunks. And then finally, share repurchases. It's not a mystery to everybody, but our shares are undervalued. So if you look at what we've done in allocating capital over the last quarter, consistently repurchasing our shares. So to that extent, hopefully that's a good snapshot of doing little things well, having dry powder to do bigger things, but it all starts with leadership. And with that, maybe I'll turn it over to Will.
Yeah, well, you're certainly very modest there, Patrick, because to do those
Thank
little things, you certainly
you.
moved the dial in this Q3. And I would highlight to investors the figures. I think that that Patrick was highlighting year-to-date numbers. So the Q3 numbers, I think they're slightly higher than those. So the momentum is definitely sort of like maintaining from Q2. Now, Will, can we run through how the progress is on the Dallas template? Because obviously you talked very positively about it last quarter, and it certainly seems to be leaving a very positive imprint in the business.
No, absolutely. Thank you, Paul. No, it's been very good. It's been very good. But it's something I'm so familiar with because it's something I've been doing for 25 years. So relatively simple in my mind. But the reception of either my managers at the corporate store level, or even somewhat surprisingly to me, was the reception at our convention by some of our franchisees a couple of weeks ago. We started speaking to them about ways that they can improve their efficiencies in their business to try to facilitate, margin growth for themselves so they can reinvest in their business and really reinvest in this new kind of avenue we're taking the business with a preventative maintenance approach and starting to, offer these Streamlabs devices. It was overwhelmingly positive. And what I've kind of noticed is the Dallas template is giving us opportunities to put in a lot of accountability within these different operations. And you know, we've started to present that to the franchisees at convention, giving them opportunities to use that same accountability to improve their operations on a local level. You know, the obviously the Dallas template, and as we start to identify, you know, excess headcount and redistribute people to, you know, take on other roles, really managing those labor costs. I mean, that's our biggest cost, is our cost of labor. And if we can manage that well, you know, the margins kind of take care of themselves. We've also started implementing the Holman program, which has been a big contributor to that margin growth as well. You know, that Holman program of fleet vehicle maintenance kind of has that same preventative maintenance approach that we're promoting to our clients, but for vehicles. And being able to do these things and kind of then start to create a regional structure. I did it here in Dallas by combining the Fort Worth office with the Dallas office, which significantly cuts the overhead. But now even starting to do it in some of our other areas around the country where we can create a regional structure to really help us perform more efficiently. Like Patrick said, that gives us opportunities to go and do other acquisitions, you know, with all this cash that we're creating. And those acquisitions, we can just plug into that same regional structure and even improve on the margins that we paid for because we have that opportunity to kind of streamline their operations and put them under one umbrella in these different regions that we're creating. So, you know, all these things are little contributors. Like Pat said, it's never going to be one big thing. It's like you're doing all these little things well, and that just equates to, you know, that growth in the margin. And then that further supports organic growth and revenue as well. So we're just kind of starting to see some of the things that we've been working on all year, really honestly, is we're seeing it come to fruition now.
Yeah, and how much further is the sort of the rollout to go? How many more sites and franchisees are sort of like will be moving on to the Dallas template? And also in that Q3, have we won any new contracts or increased the share of wallet in existing national insurers? You know, just to give people a feel of the sort of the the top line growth.
I mean, we're renegotiating existing contracts, right? And so that certainly helps because we are under kind of somewhat of a price lock on our existing service offerings through that MSA that we maybe signed 3 or 5 years ago. So we're revisiting some of those, negotiating new pricing on those. But we are also bringing in some new companies. We have a couple that we're working on right now that should be completed even within the coming weeks. You know, that I'm trying not to focus too much on those insurance contracts. I'm really trying to diversify more and focus on the organic growth of revenue so that we're not just relying on those contracts solely, all the while. They're fantastic. They do great things to help us grow the business. And they also give us opportunities to be in front of the clients, especially when we're offering that preventative maintenance solution. So as far as the different contracts are concerned, absolutely. Still working on those, getting those going, and you know, starting to talk to them more and more about those preventative maintenance solutions as well. No different than what we're offering to, you know, directly to the clients.
Yeah. And on that sort of wireless equipment, the monitoring and the preventative maintenance, how many sort of end sort of monitored points do we have now? I know it's early days with the Streamlabs equipment, but
Well,
we
it's funny
talk.
you say that. So that was another thing that had overwhelming reception, positive reception at our convention a couple of weeks ago. You know, we've been talking to our franchisee base about this preventative maintenance concept. We've been training them on Streamlabs, but until our convention, we never really had an opportunity to be face to face with them, show them the device, let them touch the device, and they were so positive about kind of the direction the company's going and positive about Streamlabs itself and it clearly being the dominant player when it comes to high quality water monitoring devices and also having so many different capabilities beyond just clamp onto the pipe and, you know, try to see if there's any flow with being able to shut the water off, being able to communicate with other devices that can just clamp on, and then even having water sensors placed throughout the property, all communicating back to that one central device that if there's an issue, it can actually shut the water off. as opposed to just notifying someone and then they've got to figure out how to shut it off later. So everyone very excited about Streamlabs, even to the point where we just had a franchisee a couple of days ago get a big contract for a bunch of installs in South Florida on his own, right? We facilitated it, we helped him, but he got it done. We have another one sending out a proposal today for a big opportunity. And so they're starting to see the benefits, they're starting to see the opportunities. And it's like anything else. Once you have a couple, we're a very competitive group, and you get a couple that kind of get fired up about something. The others have already seen the opportunity. Now everyone starts sharing. Hey, how did you do this? How did you, you know? And it's really exciting because I've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
And I see the kind of same trend going on with this whole Streamlabs and preventative maintenance approach that we're offering. You know, honestly, Paul, probably the most exciting thing that, you know, our franchisees kind of identified very early on in the convention was the uniqueness that we have, the true value proposition when it comes to American leak detection is our ability to have that turnkey service offering. Mm-hmm. So we don't just install these devices and then leave it to the homeowner to figure it out after we're done. We offer them a true preventative maintenance solution. You know, we're there when the device indicates they're an issue. It can be integrated with our Salesforce platform with that high level of data security. It can send us alerts at the local level. We can immediately respond and address the issue. And if there is, in fact, a leak, a hidden leak on the property, who better to go ahead and, you know, locate that leak in the most non-invasive way possible with our proprietary technology and then fix the leak and completely solve the problem, you know, end to end for that consumer. That's what people really are looking for. And that's why we're getting these big deals done, is because we don't just offer a device that we're going to have someone else come out and put it on for you, or we're going to give it to you and you got to put it on yourself. We offer you the complete solution end to end. And that's what people are truly looking for.
Yeah. Well, that certainly doesn't sound too de minimis to me. That's definitely not a small thing you've got right. That's definitely one of those bigger things in my view. But anyway, sort of like Patrick, in terms of the outlook, I know we're in line with Q4, but more broadly into 2026, because I think you mentioned previously that this whole wireless proposition in the Streamlabs is not fully in the expectations for next year. What any sort of closing remarks in terms of the outlook and key messages for investors as they look forward over the next 12 months?
Well, to be really precise, none of it, it's not even largely in the expectations.
Okay.
So if you look at, for example, the Canaccord initiation of coverage, they have, do a very nice job of upside scenarios to the price target, one of which is the Streamlabs device. So to the extent that our base business is growing and the targets are actually modest for the base business next year, which is what's published, we should have a really exciting 2026. So again, you know, part of it is doing the foundational work that Will is doing in really taking our base business and doing all the little things well. Next thing is to begin to communicate that to the market, given really we're undervalued. So over the summer, Will and I spoke at the Canaccord Growth Conference in Boston. Paul, we're doing these videos with you. Fantastic. But again, it starts with the fundamentals. It then moves to the communication in a way that's engaging with, you know, investors everywhere. And then finally takes it into, you know what, now that we have a great model, how more ambitious can we be? And this is where these upside scenarios, you know, everybody can talk about it, but if you can really do it. So to the extent, as Will was saying, at our convention, which was really literally last week, to the extent that now everybody's fully engaged and we actually begin to see some sales from our franchise base, that's really a full extension of, if you really look at it, sales engagement across 150 locations in the US, right? Next step then is, okay, take it to our international locations. But either way, 2026 looks like it's going to be a super exciting year.
And in terms of that sort of the upsell, is it improving the sort of the take up rate of existing customers who are, you know, water intelligence customers or American leak detection customers, and then upselling that wireless? So it's effectively improving the connection, the penetration rate in your existing customer base. Is that
well? So let's look at the first big picture, right? The smart home is coming. no matter how you look at it. And so if you look at our customer base, let's divide it into three categories. First, regular consumers that American League has been known to them 50 years. They just will call us up, they have a problem. So upselling that Streamlabs device to an installed base of customers is much more of a qualified sale because they already use us, they see their pain points, whatever. Okay. Second area, there are customers that we currently do work for, meaning business-to-business customers, that call us out for emergency services, whether it's truck stops, property management, however you look at it. Normally, they would be calling us on a reactive basis. Now they're calling us on a very proactive basis because at some level they want to get ahead of a curve and they have their own budgetary issues. So for us, to the extent that we can show a return on investment, which is not only the device, but then the labor force behind it then gives preferred service so that, as Will is educating me on this, no leak gets better. Once you have a leak, it only gets worse. And I think, business to business understands that. Right?
And
So,
presumably you can
and
do that with all types of applications and new products as
absolutely
well.
right. And then let me offer a third point, right? So it's first our install base of homeowners, 200,000 households a year. Then it's business to business clients that can only expand further because, again, they want to get ahead of their curve. Finally, the insurance channel. So the insurance channel is moving into this area as well. And because they need to improve their economics, what often enough they're trying to do is foist the liability and the cost onto the product company as a way to just improve their margins. We have the advantage because we're also a labor force with national contracts with them. So as Will is saying, they can't squeeze us on price. They again, we're partners. We want to be helpful on their concerns, but to the extent that we're able to have some price strength, what we can do is again renegotiate some of these contracts so we're not only selling device but maintaining the service level pricing. So if you really look at that microeconomics of the business and our scalability, every type of customer that we touch plus more is affected by the Streamlabs device.
Yeah, that's like the equivalent of the Apple App Store. That is, it's the American leak detection application, all in one preventative maintenance solution. That is, that's fabulous.
Let me tell you something. You've hit the nail on the head, and I would love all of our investors and shareholders and anybody else watching this to recognize Paul hit the nail on the head. If you really look at the economics of networks and its scalability, those are very high multiple companies. So if you look at first our concept of preventive maintenance and technology-enabled service, that is a platform concept. If you look at the investments we've made in Salesforce, that's to achieve a network effect with insurance companies. To the extent you look at the smart home, once we are selling to the homeowner at their point of pain, we can sell more products. So if you remember, we had made this investment in a video commerce company. Well, the whole idea is at the point of pain for our technicians to not only install a Streamlabs device, but begin to look at other products serving the smart home. That is true scalability in terms of a services and product business and a platform. And that all goes to the network effect. So you hit the nail on the head. If you look at iPhone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's extensions of the base application that allow you to sell more apps to the first set of customers. Those economics happen in every industry, and we want to be the pioneers in terms of the water industry for that. And we have the assets to be able to do that.
Brilliant. Well, you've just made my day. And just I'm actually a shareholder, and there's no chance of selling those, that's for sure. So anyway, big congrats on your year-to-date Q3 numbers and the outlook for this year and for next year. And very much looking forward in touching base again in 2 or 3 months' time at the next RNS. So thanks again, gents, and well done.
Thank
Fantastic.
You,
Paul.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.